What does the rush hour with MG sound like without MG? Rush. You're about to find out. We've got a special guest filling in because it's the Triple M Rush Hour without MG.
That is right. No MG this week. The big man getting a well-earned rest, but that doesn't mean the show stops. In fact, the show rolls on. We've got a cavalcade of guests joining us this week, but it only feels right that in the absence of one Penrith legend, we bring in another slightly shorter Penrith / Dragons legend, Jamie Soward. Welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
Yeah, thanks, Liam. Slightly fatter as well. MG, I know you're listening. Can you stop texting me, mate? I'm going to try my best, okay? I won't take a dip in the ratings too much, but I'll try my best, MG.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you here, Sowie. Lots to get through on this Monday. It's all croissants and champagne. The French have won the World Cup. Did you get up this morning to watch it?
No.
Oh, good.
I enjoyed my cold sleep out at Penrith, -1.5 overnight.
Oh, fresh. Fresh. Well, I was up, and that's why my eyes are hanging out of my head this morning, because I was up, 1 o'clock, watched the game. Jeez, it was an entertaining grand final.
One of the best World Cup finals ever.
The whole tournament was fantastic.
4-2, 6 goals.
And my favourite part, which we're going to talk about, Vladimir Putin has pulled the ultimate power move during the presentation. I'll talk to you about that a bit later on. Lots of NRL to chat. Sowie, the Wally Lewis medal saga continues.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Fittler has spoken out on Channel 9 yesterday, speaking head-to-head with Darren Lockyer. We'll break that down as well. And Lockie's provided a bit of clarification on how they came to the medal decision. Just out of curiosity, who would you have given the medal to?
I had Jake Trbojevic.
Okay. Jakey T, not Tommy T.
Not Tommy T, Jakey T.
All right, he's a pretty nice guy. He had a pretty good series as well. But I almost called you MG. That's the... Sowie, up next. You've come in pretty fired up on this one. The bunker. It's ballsed up, hasn't it?
Again?
My poor old Gold Coast Titans, their finals chances, they were slim, but their finals chances are gone because of a howler.
Two howlers. We're going to get right into that, but yeah, I'm gonna tee off.
All right, 1-3-3-5-3. What do you think about that Roosters try yesterday that was controversially awarded, Sowie?
It was a no try. We'll get into it in a minute.
All right, this is the Rush Hour with MG on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Jamie Soward in studio this evening. Sowie, I'm going to set you a challenge. Given that we've got rotating co-hosts coming in all this week, we've got a cavalcade of stars lined up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to set a challenge. In the same way that Top Gear does the quickest time around the car,
right,
the lap,
yep,
I want to see which of our co-hosts this week on the Rush Hour with MG can bring in the biggest fish. I want you to go through your phone,
okay,
and come up with, you know, the most famous person you can get on the phone with us.
Right. Obviously, it won't be anyone from the Triple M NRL team, or
hey,
can
if,
it be?
If that's the most famous person, if Wendell Saylor's the best you can bring us, and that's fine. Wendell's a very big deal.
Oh, he's a very big deal.
He's a very big deal. I love that. That's good. But if he's the best you can get us, then get him on the
It'd
phone,
be pretty
all right?
Sad if that was the best I could get,
well,
wouldn't it?
That's up to you, mate. That's up to
we'll
you.
We'll have to wait and see. I'll go through now, mate. I'll start work now, and hopefully I'll get someone.
All right, fantastic. But first, let's do this.
Trending now.
Trending now, it's time to talk NRL. Sowie, some great games yesterday, some fantastic games of footy. Obviously, we'll kick it off with the Warriors, 26-8 win over the Broncos. And I mean, can you tip the Warriors with any certainty in 2018?
No, you can't. And I put a line through them after last week against Penrith. That was the worst performance I'd seen by a team in 2018 against Penrith.
Mm.
The young stars on Friday night coming against experience, and the Cronulla Sharks show how you handle those young guys. You out-muscle them through the middle. But for them to bounce back, they must have been reading the articles during the week, because they just absolutely give it to the Broncos. And the Broncos and Warriors are sort of the same, Liam, because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't think that they're genuine contenders, but on their day, they could come up. That young Broncos pack has been manhandling sides, but maybe they just thought it was going to come a bit easy after flogging the Titans last week.
And without Andrew McCullough, I mean, Jamie, you're not much of a pugilist,
mm-hmm,
but I reckon you could have survived those three punches.
It was interesting, wasn't it? Because if it had connected, he would have been, you know, fined and also suspended.
So he's copped the fine.
He's copped the fine.
And Sartre has been charged, but an early guilty plea means he won't miss a match for the raised forearm.
Those things happen, though. the raised forearm things happen. It's like when someone gets knocked out by a stray knee. It doesn't, you don't mean for it to happen. Those things just happen. So, but I think Andrew McCulloch very lucky not to be not to connect on those punches and then be suspended. He's so crucial to their chances, the Broncos.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other game, before we get to the controversy from the bunker in the Roosters-Titans game, West Tigers with a 20-16 win over the Dragons, a stirring victory. First time since 2013 that Benji and Robbie Farah have been in the same or played for the Tigers together. And they've dragged their side over the line against, you know, the team that's been the benchmark for a lot of the year.
Yeah, they dominated yesterday. They almost threw it away. They're up 20-6 with about 15 to go. The Dragons nearly clawed it back. The worrying thing about the Dragons, Liam, is they play against Parramatta and they get away with it. It wasn't their night, but they still win. So everyone commended them for their performance, saying, look, good teams win when it's not their day. Then they turn up. I know they had Origin players backing up before everyone, you know, is beeping on their horns trying to get through the radio. But when they back up those guys, they're still expected to put in a performance. And I think that yesterday shows where the Dragons are at the moment. They're a real chance of slipping out of the four. They conceded 52 points in Melbourne. Those guys that didn't play Origin need to step up and raise their level to the Origin guys, because those guys are going to be fatigued for the rest of the year now. The Dragons have got the wobbles.
It sets up the West Tigers for a milestone game this weekend against the Bunnies. Robbie will play his 250th against the Rabbitohs' John Sutton, who plays his 300th game.
Magnificent effort, John Sutton. He should get his own testimonial, and I'm passionate about that.
Really? Why does he deserve
300 games? To play one game is an achievement, but 300 games, I get it. He hasn't played for Australia, but to play 300 games for South Sydney, one of the most iconic brands in Australia, he deserves his own testimonial. And people say, well, he doesn't compare to Cam Smith. I'm not saying that he does. No. I'm just saying that 300 games is a massive, massive effort. And he'll, by the time he's finished, Liam, he'll be the most games played for South Sydney, which is a huge, huge honour.
And you're right, the iconic brand that is the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Okay, there you go. Jamie Soward wants John Sutton to have a testimonial game. But quickly before we leave that game and get onto the bunker controversy, what is going on with Gareth Widdop's hair?
I don't know, but I guarantee it'll be dyed back before next week.
He looks like the lead singer from My Chemical Romance. He's gone into his barber and asked for the Ivan Drago haircut.
It wasn't blonde, was it? It was sort of a grey. He's obviously lost a bet or spun the wheel on that the Dragons bus that they have. So I'm sure that he looked like one of the vampires from Twilight coming back in.
Good, good, very good. We might get some of our digital team to mock up some of these comparisons for us on our Instagram at RushJR Triple M. All right, but let's talk about this. This is the Roosters, Underman Roosters, a 20-12 win over the Titans yesterday. You were calling this game for Triple M, and this is the moment that everybody's talking about.
They're looking at grounding. Hang on, they're taking this all the way to when he finally grounds it.
That's no try, Bill.
No. It's on his fingers as it's on the padding of the goalpost, and then it drops into the in-goal area. This is a no-brainer, isn't it?
Sean Sullivan regripped the ball and grounded in the in-goal area.
Oh, you are kidding. You are kidding.
That's the worst decision in 2018.
Oh, Jamie Soward, big call. That Sean O'Sullivan, the rookie halfback for the Roosters, he'll never forget his first try in the NRL, will he?
No, he won't. And, firstly, congratulations to the Roosters. Had three debutants score yesterday, Mamorowski, Famasuli, and Sean O'Sullivan. But it was disgraceful. Watching it live, it was disgraceful. Sean O'Sullivan actually puts his hand on his head and goes, oh, no, I've blown it. It's my first game. I could have scored on debut. And somehow we send it to the bunker and people will say, well, stop blowing up the bunker, Sally. They're doing that. They're not doing their job. It was embarrassing for our game that we considered that a try. The player on the field said it was no try. He knew it was no try because he's been playing rugby league his whole life, but we've sent it to the bunker and now come back and set a try. And then off the back of that, this is a confusing part, Liam. We got rid of benefit of the doubt. Everyone remembers, oh, benefit of the doubt. And everyone go, oh, benefit of the doubt. Now we have insufficient evidence to overturn. So if the referee had sent up no try yesterday, it would have come back no try due to insufficient evidence to overturn that. So the referees need to not have an opinion. Don't guess. You're making our game worse. By guessing, you're making a game worse. And I don't believe I'm going to say this, but take a leaf out of rugby union.
Oh, wow.
The TMO, the third match official, they go, hey, Bill, just going to send it up there. Just want to have a look to see what happened. That's it. Because the guys in the bunker have all the tools. They have all the camera angles. We're spending $2 million a year to run this thing, and we still get the decisions wrong.
Do we not get more of the decisions right, though?
If it cost you a grand final, if that was in a grand final and that decision came back, what would we be talking about? the Roosters being the champs or that decision that cost the Titans? And people say, well, they had 60 minutes to still wrestle it back. It's a game-changing moment in that game yesterday. The worst decision I've seen.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M, Jamie Soward in the studio this evening. We're going to talk the Wally Lewis medal up next. We've got some calls coming through, 123353, if you want to talk through the bunker. Ball's up. This is Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. We do it for Lotto Land. The US Power Special jackpot is currently worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Place a bet at Lotto Land today, but always remember to gamble responsibly. Joined in studio this evening by Dragons Premiership star Jamie Soward. Sowie, I set you the challenge at the start of the show. We're going to be doing it all week with our rotating co-host to get the most well-known person you can from your phone and get them on the show with us. How are you travelling with it?
I've scrolled down. I've sent out a few texts. Actually, it reminds me, I sent you a text a couple of weeks ago and you brushed me, so I won't be calling you.
I'm the most famous person in your phone.
Well, you're one of the better known people in my phone, yeah.
Wow. You need,
I mean, you're on the radio every night, the ratings are up.
You need to get a new phone.
No, I'm having some success. I've narrowed it down to a couple, so.
You're ticking along?
Yeah, I'm ticking along. Okay. I think everyone will be pretty happy with this guy.
All right, looking forward to it. That coming up, Jamie Soward bringing us on the Rush Hour with MG, a big name from his little black book. Also, Sowie, you're the reverse curse we've discovered. When you put a line through someone or something, they bounce back and respond.
People have been, Dragons fans have been tweeting me all day. I put it out on Twitter. Who do you want me to put a line through next? Dragons fans, I may have to do it this week because they are just begging me, Liam.
Two losses on the trot. Sowie's going to put a line through somebody before the show finishes tonight. All right, Sowie, we've got to talk about this. We all remember this moment.
Because Billy Slater is also the Wally Lewis Medal Player of the Series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, end of game three, Billy Slater announces the Wally Lewis medalist despite playing in a losing side and only playing two of those games. You said at the top of the show, Jake Trbojevic would have been the player of the series for yours.
Yeah, I just thought he came on in both games one and two and then started game three defensively, was really on in game three. For me, had an impact with the way he played with the ball as well. I think that's why you saw him play a lot longer minutes than Jack DeBellin, who actually started at 13. So I had him there. I think James Tedesco was above Billy Slater in terms of you match their stats. And now, you know, people know that regularly listen to me, and what I don't like stats because I'm all about the eye test, but he certainly won the eye test in his involvements. And then Damien Cook had a fantastic series as well.
Well, Billy Slater was named at fullback in the merit team that was released yesterday. James Tedesco also made the team, but on the bench. This is what was said from Darren Lockyer, one of the three men that selected the Wally Lewis medal. This was him last Thursday on Channel 9's footy show discussing how Billy Slater was arrived at.
All the points that were given to all the players across the series are then tallied up and they're given to us at the end of the third game as a guide to then select a man of the series. Now, the gap between Billy and the next person was quite significant and we had to make a call that if we were going to give it to Bill, he was in a team that lost the series and he only played two games, but we thought the gap was significant enough to then award the medal to Billy. And but we got to live by that decision and we'll stand by it.
Okay, so that was last Thursday on Channel 9. And then yesterday, Brad Fittler and Darren Lockyer came face-to-face when they were both on the panel for the Sunday footy show. And this is Freddie, I guess, explaining his confusion at the winner.
Now, Billy's an attacking player and what he does to a team is create numbers. You know, and then in the second game, they had the opportunity with 12 players down in the last 10 minutes to win the game. Now, that's what Billy does. Billy then should have taken control there, and, you know, to be the best player and to be that far ahead on the points. That's why I couldn't understand why Tedesco, Cook, maybe Tom Trbojevic, James Maloney, who had really persuading roles in the games, while Billy had, you know, that opportunity in game two and didn't get it. That's why I couldn't understand why he had so many points.
I 100% agree with Brad Fittler. You watch those games. Now, admittedly, I missed game two. I listened to it via Triple M and Dan Ganane, Gerds and Dell, and just took my views off that and then watched the highlights. But certainly in game one, Tedesco got man of the match, was easily the best player on the field, followed by Damien Cook. The only thing that you can go by, Liam, is the fact that New South Wales in game two, where Boyd Cordon was man of the match, a bit like when Thurston and Taumalolo for Dally M, they take points off each other, but I don't know how he could have won. The maximum he could have had was 24 points. That's just from two games. And you'd have to think that Tedesco, in those games, after polling maybe 12 maximum in game one, which he would have got, you would have think that he would have picked up 14 points in the last two games out of three judges.
Or somewhere else, yeah. I think particularly, and I think part of Freddie's confusion was, and everyone's confusion, A, that they refused to disclose the votes.
Yes.
I think they just need to be transparent. In that way, it takes away all the ammunition of people saying there's a conspiracy and all the rest of that.
Agreed.
You lay it out, we can see it all. But also, the fact that Darren said that we tallied the votes and then had a conversation means that it's not just about the votes.
So they would have tallied the votes off the back of that. What I got out of Lockie's comments, and I'm not discrediting the judges
absolutely
at
not.
All.
That's a,
I think
that's
we
a
take that out of
straight
there.
Off
that's
the top.
Exactly right. The way that he said that he was significantly in front of the next person, but we had to have a conversation about it. So they were not sure themselves by the sound of that, but they went off the point. So that would mean he'd have to be 4, 5, 6 points in front of the next person. Now, that's confusing enough for me, but you're right. That we don't need a review, NRL. We don't need a review of it. You just come out next year and you say, we're going to look at the points. We do it for the first 16 rounds of the NRL and the Dally M.
So, exactly.
And everyone goes, you might create some conversation in around it, but more often than not, it's usually about right and usually what you have. There's only one or two occasions where you might think, how did that person get points?
What do you think of MG's suggestion he made last week on the show that you do the keep the point system as is, absolutely, but as soon as the series is won, you put a line through every member of the losing side?
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think it's hard. It'd be hard when you only play two games as well, but hard to give it to a losing side, especially when New South Wales showed that they were better as a team in this series. For me, I just think that, yeah, Tedesco was easily the best fullback, and then that would make it hard for Billy to win player of the series. But congratulations to him anyway.
Well done, Billy. All right, it's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Up next, Jamie Soward, you've walked into the studio, you've asserted your dominance, your power, you've taken your shirt off, you're flexing. Vladimir Putin has rolled out the ultimate power move at the World Cup presentations this morning.
Okay.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't, but I'm about to hear about it.
I'll tell you about it next.
The big guy's on hiatus for retooling. That's what the official memo said. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Without MG.
Mbappe! Oh, the teenager scores in the World Cup final and France have four. The game is up to the gallant Croats. France, one of the favourites at the outset, have found their way through the twists and turns of this labyrinth of a World Cup to win the World Cup. France win for a second time and this outstrips the first because that was on home soil. They've done it on the foreign fields of Russia 2018.
Quick question without notice for you.
Yes.
Who was the other teenager to score in a World Cup final?
Pele.
Damn it.
Yeah, I'm all over this, mate. It's okay. Jamie Soward in studio, rotating co-host set up this week while MG's having a bit of a break. Soward, you didn't get up and watch the game this morning.
No.
So I want to talk you through a moment that happened. Obviously, France, terrific way to end the World Cup. And it was an entertaining game this morning in the win over Croatia. It had everything. It had VAR, the much controversy throughout the tournament.
Did they get the VAR right?
Here's one for you. Here's a name drop for you. If I was going into my little black book, I retweeted one of Tim Cahill's tweets with a little bit of an add-on.
Yep.
Tim Cahill liked it. That was probably the highlight of my morning at 2:30 this morning when Tim Cahill liked one of my tweets. I'd retweeted him, so technically he was liking himself, but that's okay.
Does he follow you?
No, absolutely not.
I think he follows me. Maybe he's unfollowed me.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
But Tim Cahill didn't think they got it right, which is good enough for me. The referee took a lot of time to look at the VAR, which suggests it wasn't cut and dry, so it shouldn't have been a penalty. Anyway, Croatia lost, Gallen in defeat. My favourite moment, though, of this whole World Cup came right at the end, where Vladimir Putin is standing on the presentation stage. You've got French President Emmanuel Macron standing next to him. You've got Croatian President Kolinda Grabar-Kitarovic. Mm-hmm. I may have got that wrong.
Yeah.
They're all standing there, right? It starts raining. Vladimir Putin is suddenly surrounded with an umbrella. No other umbrellas appeared for any of the world leaders. So you've got the President of France and the President of Croatia. It is belting down in Russia, and they're all just getting wet.
Power move.
It was the ultimate power move.
What a boss move.
And he was just smug. He just stood there being smug. That also taught me, though, the way Emmanuel Macron responded with France winning also taught me that Australia's not ready to win the World Cup.
On what basis?
We don't have a cool enough prime minister. Malcolm Turnbull, Emmanuel Macron was dabbing, he was dancing, he was jumping up and down in the box, actually watching the game, whereas Malcolm Turnbull is just, I don't think he's ready for it.
You don't think he's ready to celebrate like the French president?
No, he's absolutely not ready to celebrate.
I think our prime minister would be doing that if we're in a World Cup final.
I don't know if he would. Did you hear him when he responded to Game 3 of State of Origin? His response, he described it, he said Queensland were the winners in territory and possession. Clearly someone had written notes for him.
Yeah,
on that,
right.
Anyway.
Peter Beattie wrote the notes.
Poor old Peter Beattie. Come on, the Gold Coast Seagulls. This is the Rush Hour with MG. All right, Sowie, the time has come. Have you got your big name ready for us next?
Yeah, I have. I've scrolled down. I've texted. This guy is available. Okay. So
let's get him on the line.
Okay.
It's the Rush Hour with MG. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Up next, Jamie Sowie. Big name guest. We don't know who it is. I'm nervous for you.
So am I after that build-up.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. This is the Rush Hour with MG. Jamie Sowie in studio tonight in place of MG, who's on a well-earned break. Sowie, now, stick around because you are going to... You've been putting the curse on teams, or rather the reverse curse. You've been writing teams off and they've been bouncing back.
Yes.
We're going to break that down just after this. But first, as we have the rotating co-host chair on the Rush Hour with MG this week, we thought we'd bring in a new little segment.
The Triple M Rush Hour.
Oh.
Little Black Book.
Yes. The Little Black Book, Sal. And what we're doing this week, and you get the honour of kicking it off, is we're asking all of our co-hosts to go into their contacts, to go into their little black book of guests.
Just so you know, my wife will be listening. I don't have a black book, babe. This is just my phone. Definitely don't have one of those. I can guarantee that. But, I'm interested because you always hear about people and celebrities who they know. And I went to my phone. I found this guy, and he's very, very interesting. We haven't been friends for long, but we are friends.
A new friend.
A new friend, right, and I think very highly of him, but don't tell him that.
Well, what we're essentially asking you to do is to name drop. Jamie Sowie, introduce who you've pulled out of your little black book.
I've pulled out a former Wallaby test star, Jeremy Paul, who was actually born in New Zealand, and I'm going to ask him about that, how he was that, and then play for the Aussies.
Well, we've got to see if he answers the phone. Jeremy Paul, you there?
Mate, hello, boys. How are you?
Oh, g'day, JP. It's Sowie, mate. JP. How have you been?
Mate, I'm all the much better for your asking, thanks, considering I'm the most famous person in your phone, which you and I both know that's not true, but...
it is, mate. It came down to you or Wendell Saylor, and I picked you.
Yeah, well, that's not a hard choice, but, mate, I'm probably Z-grade celebrity, so, mate, thanks for having me on the show, but, mate, I want to hear more about this black book.
I had to say the most famous celebrity because I went to you because you were one of the last people to win a Bledisloe and you won the World Cup, so that's pretty famous in my eyes.
And a Johnny Eels medal as well, Jeremy. You're underselling yourself.
Yeah.
Mate, thanks, boys. No, I was very lucky. Mate, I was very fortunate in my career. I got to win everything and I never got caught off the field. So, mate, it's... two of the things I lived by, it was always, as soon as I got to a hotel, it was the concierge, entries and exits. That's all you had to worry about. How footballers get caught these days, I've got no idea.
Jeremy, let's chat about your given sport, rugby union. Obviously, Sowie's gone cross-code with the person he's brought on from his little back book. What do you see the state of rugby union in Australia? We know about the situation regarding there's less Super Rugby teams in Australia than there used to be, but the Wallabies is still a national side that continues to capture our attention regardless of the state of the local comp.
Oh, mate, yeah, and we always will. Look, we're the national team for winter sport, but unfortunately, mate, we're a mess at the moment. The diversity in sports is one of the toughest markets in the world with our population. That talent is stretched across so many sports. Rugby union's really a generational sport. We only come around sort of every generation or every so often. Fortunately for me, I was a part of that in between sort of 98 and 2005, where we got to win every trophy. And unless you're winning, you don't get the support.
JP, that answer went as long as the Bledisloe Cup drought. We're on a time limit here, mate. We need to keep a little bit shorter. But talk about your time when you won the Bledisloe Cup. What's different to when you won it to what you've seen over the last 13-year drought with Australian rugby? Like, what's the one thing that stands out?
Oh, look, it's easy, Sal. It's the quality of players. You know, we lost to Angus Crichton, too, and we've seen how good this kid go and play State of Origin 2 years out. The quality of players that I played with, and it's no offence to the guys and their effort now, the current player, but fortunately we just haven't been building and had that transition period of new stars coming through. And, you know, every game goes through it. You know, when Cam Smith, Jonathan Thurston, these players retire, who's going to be that next kid? You know, you've got Ponga that comes through. This kid's coming out of nowhere. Mm. The depth of talent, and that's what we lack.
Jeremy Paul, congratulations on being the first ever name drop from the Little Black Book on the Rush Hour with MG. See how he's done a pretty good job there. It's going to be tough to beat this week. You've brought a John Eales medalist, a World Cup winner, Bledisloe Cup winner. Just, Jeremy, before we let you go, what's the gap? It's been far too long since that trophy's been held by Australia. What is the gap between the All Blacks and the Wallabies currently?
Oh, mate, it's probably the Parramatta Eels and the St. George Dragons.
Oh,
Dragons.
Wow.
That's how big the gap is. It's just, we're in this continual rebuilding, you know, that transition period. We've been in that for 14 years we've been in that. And I can tell you what, boys, it is an absolute privilege to be in a very good Black Book rather than the bad Black Book.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Jeremy Paul, Wallaby legend, the first inductee to the Rush Hour with MG's Little Black Book. Good work, Howie.
Thanks, mate.
Not bad. How do you reckon that's going to hold up throughout the week?
Oh, look, it'll be tough to beat, but when you stack up the numbers and stats, I mean, Bledisloe Cup winner, I've really gone in the archives there, and yeah. Just so you know, I've only probably met the guy about 3 or 4 times.
I know. I thought
a bit of a stage 5 clinger he was. Yeah. He's just like, can I get your number, Sal? And I thought, yeah, no worries. But he's a legend and done a lot. One of those underrated guys, much like a Sam Thaiday. You actually look at their numbers and they've done more than what you think.
I noticed that you threw out JP, so you're on nickname basis.
Well, he calls me Chow and I'm JP. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, just as a heads up, coming up the rest of this week, we've got a current NRL player joining us in studio, another former NRL player like yourself, and a retired player from another sport as well. So there's going to be some options to choose from in the Little Black Book Stakes.
Yeah, there will be, won't there?
All right, up next, though, Jamie Soward. He's the reverse curse. He's going to put a line through somebody who hopefully bounces back on the run. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
All the sport news you need to know about, just about the big guy. He's taking a sickie, I'm assuming. This is the Triple M Rush Hour without MG.
Jamie Soward in studio, Liam Flanagan here as usual. Now, if you don't have the Triple M NRL app, get it. Go and get it right now. We will wait because this weekend, Newcastle Knights taking on the Gold Coast Titans, Sowie. And as I look down on the yet to be sent out publicly names calling our broadcast list.
Yes.
Jay Soward calling alongside W. You're going to be calling your first ever game of NRL for Triple M this Saturday.
I am. Dan Ganane, our fearless leader, has gone on a well-earned break after the Origin period, as he does every year. And I threw it up to the producers, Brad McNamara. I'd love to have a go. And yesterday, Dan sort of threw me in on the spot.
Well, I was going to bring that up because we went back and checked audio. And if for those that missed it yesterday, the Roosters Titans game, you might have been entertained with a little bit of a cameo appearance. This is some of the audio from Triple M's call of the Roosters win over the Titans yesterday.
Long ball now. Grimson goes away to Wallace. Not much doing there. Gets an offload to Taylor. Taylor goes to James. Right foot step. And this Roosters defence gobbles him up. They're not taking any dummies here this afternoon. Here goes Rain. Short ball. Leilani Latu tips on to Wallace. He's going to score. Jared Wallace has given the Titans a life here. He's going to score right next to the post, and with 18 minutes to go, it's going to be 20-12.
Wow, we've got a contest. Beautifully done, Jamie Soward. You've got a future at this.
Now, that's an endorsement. When Danganay tells you you've got a future in calling footy, well done, mate. How'd you feel?
Very nervous. Yeah. Very nervous. It was like my debut, really. So, I've got the sponsor sheet ready to go for Saturday afternoon.
Look after the sponsors, mate.
Oh, always. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting. I just think Dan gave me a little taste yesterday live and I got some really good feedback. So just need to mix up the tones a little bit more. And then you've chatted to me off air about the great work you've done calling the AFL and some tips. So if I can do that and just enjoy myself, I think we'll be all right, me and the big fella.
There is. Go and grab the Triple M NRL app now. That's how you can hear Saturday's call of the Knights v Titans. And Jamie Soward, no doubt you'll be fantastic and you'll have a great time with your mate Wendell Saylor as well.
I will.
Look after you. But up next, Zowie, we're going to do what you do best. You're going to reverse the curse.
Oh, no.
Because the Warriors, you've revived their season. You put the line through them.
And they're then back.
They come out and beat the Broncos. Who'd you do before that?
I did the Broncos. I did Penrith.
Penrith?
Actually, then they won against the Warriors.
So who are you looking at?
I don't know. I want to keep it. Look, it's a team that's in the top eight. They're finals bound, but I don't want to give it away too early.
All right, the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Jamie Soward has been in the co-host chair for the evening. Liam Flanagan here as usual, all this week rotating co-host going through. Sowie.
Yes.
You informed producer Charlie and I of a little superpower that you've generated for yourself.
Yep.
The ability to reverse the fortunes of a team by or a person or a player or anything just by putting a line through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did it. Yeah, I've did it for the Warriors. They were awful last week against Penrith. Bang. They beat the Broncos easily.
Okay, so now you've decided to use your power for good. You're hoping to reverse the fortunes of somebody or something that's going not that well by putting a line through them today.
Yes, I've thought about this. I've been watching the form. And after the weekend, I'm going to put the line, after many requests on Twitter, on my Twitter handle, I'm going to put the line through the bunker. They've got two options, the bunker. The only way I see it is two options. First option, lock the door, throw away the keys. Second option, open the door. Welcome in, Jamie Soward.
Oh, no.
I'll come in. I'll show them the ropes. I'll show them how we just handle it. We'll be okay.
So you reckon this weekend, heading into, what is it, round 19, they either need to lock the door or let you in?
I want to be trending on Twitter for Get Soward in the Bunker.
Yes. So what we're hoping, by you saying that the bunker is completely kaput, is that they actually go well this weekend.
They actually go well this weekend. They'll get every decision right. But on a serious note, on a football team, and I'm not going to go into explanations, the Dragons have got a line through them at the moment.
No. Sowie, this is your mob. This is your team.
That's why I'm doing it.
You've put a line. They're taking on the Cowboys this Saturday night up in at 1300 Smiles Stadium. They're on a two-game losing streak, and you're putting a line through them.
Vintage JT performance, Dragons to slide out of the top four. It's just building, unfortunately. But, hey, when they win...
Do they hold on to finals, though, in your opinion?
They hold on to finals, but they won't be in the top four.
Out in straight sets? What are they going to do in finals?
I've had that happen to me a couple of times. It hurts.
Yeah.
A bit like the bloke that lost the Wimbledon.
Yeah.
The South
Kevin
African.
Anderson.
Kevin
yeah.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Maybe straight sets.
Oh!
Depends where they finish. If they finish...
Jamie Soward's got his old team. He won a flag with who he got welcome back to Cogra this season. You've just mended the bridges.
No.
And now you've put a line through them.
Which means they're going to win the comp. So we'll all be able to celebrate together.
Soward, thank you for coming in today, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
All right, this is the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.